Women are crazy, especially your ex. And you know what they say, don't stick your dick in crazy. And men are such assholes. Oh, all men are trash. Sound familiar? These sex and dating traps can be scary. And if you're not careful, you can be stuck in this thought loop forever. But you don't have to be totally screwed as long as you've got the right tools. Greetings, kings, queens, and libertines. I'm certified sex coach Kincaid McMinn, and this is Royally Screwed, the show where I talk with my friends about masturbation, mating, marriage, and everything in between. Each episode, my guests and I share our personal stories from our own dating lives and how that relates to culture at large. Today, we have my dear friend, soul architect coach, founder of Soul Science Energy Healing Arts, and probably the most zen motherfucker I've ever met, Austin Vryhoff. Is that right, Vryhoff?
Yeah, you got 100%.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Austin is also an expert in molecular biology, blah, 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 a Tai Chi martial artist, and a Reiki master practitioner. Austin, now that I've bungled the intro, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you here, man. We've known each other for several years, ever since we went to we first met at a series of meditation camps back in, was it like 2016 or something? So we've known each other now for a long time, and 5 years ago, yeah. And I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited to get into our topic today, which is like toxic cyclical relationships. But before we do that, I gotta ask, because I want this to be a very fun conversational show, I told you to prepare whatever you wanted to drink. So first off, what you drinking?
So I'm drinking two things. I'm drinking a nice healthy holistic tea with lots of herbs from my ninja mug.
I love it.
Because it's me and you, I'm having a nice fine scotch.
I prepared a glass of scotch as well, because I was like, this is going to be such a wonderful conversation. I'm so excited to have you here. I was telling you before we started rolling that like if there was ever someone to be deserving of a scotch on the show, it would be you. You're such a class act. You're such a kind, gentle soul, and someone who I think is deserving of that.
Thank you. I'm honored for that blessing introduction.
Next, I want to kind of tear into today's topic, because it's a juicy one, and I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with at least some point or another in their lives, especially when it comes to dating and relationships. And it's really screwy relationships. It's these cyclical patterns of, I can't find the right guy, I have a hard time finding a girl who values me, you know, these girls are just manipulative, or these guys are just assholes, and how that can be really, it can be a really bad cycle to get stuck in. When I reached out to you, you actually suggested this idea, and you said that you were had this idea tumbling around in your brain, and we're going to make a post about it on your own. So tell me, where did that come from? And then after that, what's this experience been in your life?
Yeah, thank you for that. So yeah, these cyclical relationships that people seem to get themselves caught into, they seem to all just be spurred about, especially now with, I guess, Gen Z and on TikTok and on Instagram. There's lots of catchy things about, oh, this guy's trash, this woman's trash, these people are toxic, and these names and finger pointing get thrown out. And we like to separate ourselves from them. But in the process, it gets messy. There's lots of anger and resentment. All these things get stuck inside of our body and inside of our mind. And that anger and resentment and unprocessed grief, all these things are going to keep us in this cycle. And we're just going to keep finding a different partner, a different date with a new face, who is also going to be toxic, trash, same thing over and over again. Until we go within and we clear up our own stuff and look at ourselves and learn what we need to learn from each relationship, each connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You said that you were thinking about making a post about this. Was this on your own blog?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on Instagram at Soul Science Healing, and just creating posts on there. You can also find me on Facebook, Soul Science Energy Healing also. And yeah, just seeing these little memes that pop up. when we start labeling people as trash and toxic, it, for me, really points to a need that we really need a boundary. We're looking to create some kind of separation and wall between that person and ourselves. And boundaries are a good, healthy thing. And they can be just that. We don't have to choose to spend time with people who we deem as toxic, but we also want to be at peace within ourselves for our own health. We don't want those old stories. We don't want all these feelings messing us up on the inside in our own bodies, in our own minds.
It can be really troubling, especially when you see an entire group of people or an entire class of people or an entire subsection as inherently bad or inherently toxic. That doesn't do a lot of good things for, number one, your relationship prospects. It leaves you really, it can leave you really predisposed, I think, to having that hairline reaction again the next time someone does something slightly wrong. You can be like, okay, they're going on the shit list. Like, you know, for some people it's astrological signs, for some people it's something else. You'd be like, okay, not dating any more Aries or something, you know. But in addition to that, it creates a lot of inner turmoil, especially if you find yourself in this pattern again and again. It makes you think something's wrong with me. Even if you don't find yourself in that pattern again and you just say, oh, like all Aries are bad. I don't know why I'm ragging on Aries. but if you say that, for example, that just leaves a lot of resentment in your heart. And that's not going to be good for your dating prospects in the future either, if you come into it with this kind of resentment going forward.
Yeah. And if we say men, if we resent men, we resent women, that's 50% of the population. If it's Aries, that's 1/12 of the population just relegated to being evil. No, we all come into this life with predispositions, with certain personality traits, whether you look to astrology for that, or you look to Myers-Briggs personality or any type of test. We all have our own expressions of ourselves, our masculine, feminine, our preferences. And we also come in with our own life experiences, our own parents who taught us our own things, or society teaches our own things. So deep down, in my personal belief, we're all one, we're all the same. And we all just came into this life with these experiences. And so if someone was born in a terrible household or went through an abusive relationship, you know, my heart mourns for them. That's terrible. That's no fault of their own, because in my eyes, we're all beautiful people. We're all deserving of immense amounts of love, and we're all deserving of our own, knowing our own worth and our power and deservingness. So if I'm caught into a relationship with someone who I think is toxic or is just treating me unfairly, poorly, I just want to hold that person and say, you're so deserving of so much more. And from that space of fullness, we can then create a boundary and go, yes, I know I deserve love. There's something better out there for me. And that starts to break the cycle when we really get into that. And if we take it a step further, we see that, you know, just like we know the bullies on the playground are the ones who are hurting the most, the people who would dare to want to hurt someone? Why would you want to do that? They must really be feeling an immense amount of pain inside themselves that they would even wish to take that out on someone. And so from my perspective, when I'm in a relationship or dating someone, it doesn't work out, or I feel like I'm not being treated correctly, that cycle, instead of going within saying, oh, I deserve this, it's horrible, the cycle goes a different direction for me. I go out and I see that person for who they are as a beautiful soul. And I say, what are they teaching me? Oh, they're treating me unfairly. Let me bring that to myself. I know I deserve to be treated kindly instead of being blamed. I know they can ask me a question and treat me with respect, and I can respond and they can receive that answer. But I deserve to be communicated with properly, you know, instead of sweeping things under the rug. I deserve to be not wined and dined, but just to know that I'm worthy of love, and to know that I'm with someone who wishes to give and receive love in equal measure with me. So that all just becomes a reminder for me to just to grow from within.
I love that. Like I said, it's important for everyone listening or watching to remember that, yes, you are worthy of love in a way that makes you, that most importantly makes you feel good. There are lots of types of love out there that aren't the best, that are love as long as you do what I say, or love as long as you're like me, or love as long as I can control some aspect of you. And it's that's a a very narcissistic kind of love versus this love that you're talking about. It comes from this place of greater sense of respect. It has to be a very mutual thing. Unfortunately, that's not always easy to be able to tell when you're kind of going through it, when you're in the thick of it, but it is something to keep in mind. These are important questions to be asking is, well, does this person actually love me for me, or do they love some sort of idea of me? Do they love some sort of ownership of me? Do you have any examples from your personal life about times where you were in a pattern or a pattern that you had noticed in yourself that you recognized, hey, I need to break away from this pattern, or I need to set up a respectful boundary?
Yeah. A big one for me was a few years ago. I became more open to dating different women who I felt like didn't have to meet my ideal soulmate, this little box of a partner, like a life partner I was looking for. And so it was beautiful because it allowed me to expand and open up to who I was dating. And they were all such gifts for me, because from each partner, I can think of different challenges that came up, which allowed me to embody myself fuller.
From this more diverse dating pool you're talking about, right? This new, yeah, open, more diverse pool.
Yeah, because now I was stretching into, I dated a woman who was a single mother. So now I had to date into my own neediness, for example, because now she had a little person who was her number one priority. And so when you talked about the types of love, you know, I feel like there's healthy and unhealthy types of love. So for love, a definition for some people could be, oh, we're just going to cuddle and just spend all day together every day. And well, no, if someone has a child, they have to go take care of that other person. So I need to really be loving myself and taking care of my own self, my own needs first, just like that person needs to. So it will address my need for conscious touch, my need for intimacy, my need for communication, my need for sex, all those things I have to learn to be stable and grounded and okay with in myself. And communicate, hey, are you available, you know, next Friday? Well, no, I'm not, because I have parenting duties. It's sure. Okay, then I have to be okay with that. And so that allowed me to confront everything. And after that whole span of dating this diverse pool of people, I got to learn all these different tool sets, learn how to meet my own needs and ask and communicate my own wants, needs, desires, boundaries. And at the same time, I went back and I said, my heart's still hurting. It's still unfulfilled. And I said, you know what? There is a certain type of partner who I do want, who embodies all these characteristics. And when I'm pursuing someone who is not in alignment with that, my body and my heart lets me know, this doesn't feel right. And when I'm with someone who I really resonate with, then there's a release, there's an expansion. And I learned how to actually follow my own heart instead of chasing women for sex, for any other reason that really was ultimately unfulfilling.
I love that. Because you talked about a couple different things that seem diametrically opposed. They seem that you've got this interesting dialectic going on in your dating experience, where you talk about not being too narrow and expanding your options, which I think is super important. And I'll share a little bit of my experience with that here in a bit that echoes that in a way. So you talk about getting this diverse pool that you can learn how to overcome different challenges. That makes you, first of all, a more diverse human being. A more capable human being. But, and this is something that I thought you weren't going to touch on, but you did in a way at the very end, is it also allowed you to figure out what you like and what you don't like too, from yourself, like your own needs and what you want out of a partner. And I think that is also equally important. You know, there was a certain point where you reach a bit of diminishing returns in just dating anyone who just because they want to date you. That's not necessarily a good pattern to go for long term either. So it is this kind of balance point where be open to dating things that aren't your very small idea of like what your dream partner is, because a lot of times you may be surprised that either your dream partner, however you imagine it to be, either doesn't exist, isn't as fulfilling as you think it's going to be, or some other combination. And so it opening yourself up to more people is wonderful, because people aren't perfect, but that's almost better. It makes you a better person for learning how to communicate. Different communication styles is something that you touched on. And then at a certain point, you do reach a point where you say, okay, I've got all this experience now. Now I can figure out what it is that I like, what it is that I don't like. And you can begin narrowing it down a little bit more, not to this idealized version of a human that doesn't actually exist, but to a series of things that say, okay, what's going to complement me? Who is going to work to complement my style of doing things? And what are some of the core things that are non-negotiables? What are things that are negotiable? So I love your story. That makes you so happy. I'll drink to that. That's a cheers, man.
So cheers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I'm atypical, but I tend to stay friends with a lot of the women I've dated in the past because I feel a deep soul connection there. And I trust them implicitly, and I can know that they have my back as well. And for me, that's just something that just will expand the rest of my little life on Earth.
I honestly
think that's, granted.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And granted, it would come with a little bit of time apart to create some space to learn how to rebuild platonically. And yeah, but I'm so grateful for all of them. And it, what I touched on was about kind of getting out of my own mind and my little box, like you said, and to self-reflect, and then also to really go within. And then now from this expanded space of love and appreciation for all these beings around me, then say, okay, now what I truly desire, and I would like to manifest that, because I know I'm so deserving of someone who has good communication and can support themselves and knows that they love themselves as well.
Absolutely. That reminds me so much of my own dating journey. If you don't mind me sharing a little bit too.
Yeah.
So my experience with this, with these kind of really, really cyclical kind of nasty things, was for a long time, I would date girls that were like very religious. Like over the course of a couple of years, so this is the span of a couple of years, the three major relationships that I had, or some of the relationships that like hit me the hardest, were like a girl who was raised Catholic, Episcopalian, ex-Mormon, and then Mormon. And I was never particularly religious. I haven't been religious since, sophomore year of high school. So, and I was also this number one, a horny teenage boy, number one, and young adult male. And then number two, I was also a very sex positive young adult male, where the more that I learned about human sexuality, I was like, this is fucking awesome. Why doesn't everyone do this? Like, why don't these religious girls understand where I'm coming from here? And we had so many fights because I was pushing for that, not entirely for a sense of like just self-gratification, but also because like, hey, don't you understand like that what you're being taught is repressive and can be damaging? And I don't say that necessarily all religions are like that, or that just because you're religious or Christian that you are repressed or anything, or that Christians or religious people can't have wonderful, fulfilling sex lives. One of my good colleagues is a Catholic sex coach, and she's phenomenal, but she had to work through some stuff that was taught to her at an early age. She had to kind of work through that. So there would be a lot of conflict because of a couple different things. And it caused a lot of heartache. And I remember being very bitter after several of them. And eventually I got to a point where I realized that it wasn't necessarily the girls that were the problem at all. It was the fact that for some reason I kept dating these girls with very religious upbringings. And I recognized that, okay, maybe I am the common denominator here. I'm the one that's looking for things in the wrong places. What I was offering wasn't what they wanted. And so I recognized that, okay, maybe I'm putting something out there that's bringing these people into my life, or there is a lesson here that I need to learn. And that lesson was, be more specific about who you're dating. And honestly, it was a little bit of like a thrill-seeking thing where I would want to find these girls and like pervert these like really innocent girls. And I was like, yeah, you had that experience too.
I'm, I'm resonating. Yeah,
it's a thing. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and I don't recommend it to anybody. It's not gonna work out well. It will not work out well. So I was like, okay, that kind of like thrill seeking was for my sense of self-gratification, and it clearly it wasn't working well. So what do I need to do? I need to be more specific about who I'm dating. I need to maybe date girls in the future who aren't super religious, who don't fit the mold. Like if I had a type, that was my type. So maybe I need to try to date girls that don't fit into that type as much anymore. I think that dating outside of your norm or your perfect, like your type, can actually be one of the best things that you could possibly do, especially if you find yourself in this pattern of why do I keep encountering the same type of guy or the same type of girl that's just not good for me. Try dating someone that's the complete opposite of your type. You may be surprised by the results.
Yeah, so much came up for me when you shared that. Thank you. Yeah, one of my first girlfriends who I dated was not interested in sex until marriage. And when you speak about dating outside of your type, for me, what that brings up is is to not make anyone right or wrong. Just say, okay, it seems that these religious girls who I've dated have this type of belief system, this type of personal values and archetype, and that's great. And if that's how they feel is true, that's wonderful. And then I say, what do I need? For me, I need a woman who is very sex positive and open, and we can be naked around each other and do all these very things that aren't normally accepted in structured society. And that's what I need. And then here's two amazing people with amazing qualities, and I can find the one that resonates with me. And for me, just to touch on what breaks the cycle is having gratitude. Instead of going to you're right, I need to be right, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm good, you're bad. If I can appreciate and just have to be grateful for the good qualities I see in, say, the religious woman, for example, the girl I dated who didn't want to have sex, well, that's great. She valued herself. She had a belief. She communicated very clearly to me, and my horny teenage boy mind was trying to get around it or say, oh no, that you don't really want to do that, right? No, of course you want to have sex with me.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just. So instead of making ourselves miserable and for me breaking my heart multiple times over, I can really honor and appreciate what she knew about herself. And now I can go find someone who also, I know myself, they know themselves.
Absolutely. Just because two people are different doesn't mean that one person is inherently bad or inherently good. Just because you're different than the person doesn't mean that they're a bad person or a bad match or that anything. It just means that you're different people, and that's okay. An important thing is this idea that I think you'll be familiar with is like the world is your mirror. And if you're getting a certain series of results, especially again and again and again, an important place to look is at yourself and say, okay, if the world is your mirror, it reflects back at you what you're putting out there. So it's a point of, okay, then asking, what am I putting out there? What am I putting out there or expecting that is then getting me, reflecting back at me this heartbreak, if that's what it ends up being? And I think those are important questions to ask yourself. And like, okay, if you're not liking what you're getting back, then what can you do to change what you're putting out there? I think a lot of people go into dating with expectations of things that are unrealistic, in the sense of they expect things to either go so smoothly or to find this like very niche thing. And when people don't meet those expectations, they're upset. The question then becomes, okay, what are you putting out there that's getting people that don't match your expectations? What can I do about this situation to make it better for myself?
Yeah. And that, yeah, I mentioned gratitude, but for me, I've had this too. And it's so for me, I believe in like, you know, we're all one, we're all connected to this universe, and that this universe is actually here supporting us and bringing us opportunities in every moment, literally every possible moment. And so we can figure these things out in a second. We don't have to spend 20 years in an unhealthy relationship and go through 4 divorces to realize this inner thing. So to answer your question, because I go roundabout, is even on a dating app when I'm swiping, I can literally have a thought in my mind and the next partner can reflect that. And I've seen that happen in absurd, almost like statistically impossible amounts of times where if I'm resistant to something in a human being, just a quality, if I think they're not good looking enough or that they don't have enough money or they're not just this type that I have, which can be, maybe it's just some surface level thing. I kept getting matches over, and I'm going, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, over and over of people who were not the type that I was attracted to, or they just displayed some quality on the surface. And so for me, it's like, wow, am I really not loving myself enough in that moment? And that was it for me. If I can't accept myself fully for who I am, and if I can, do I really not feel lovable on the inside? Do I not feel beautiful on the inside or sexy enough? And if I lack all this confidence, then all of a sudden I'm going to start seeing people mirrored outside of me that, oh, no, they're not beautiful enough. They're not beautiful enough. They're not beautiful enough. When really that's just my voice. That's my internal dialogue that's judging myself just as harshly. So it was an opportunity for the universe, this mirror, to go, hey, do you really think that you're lovable enough? Do you really think you're beautiful enough? We're going to show you all these faces that are reflecting that back. Because inside, really, there was deep heartbreak. There was deep lack of confidence and self-esteem and self-worth. When I can really be honest with myself and tap into that voice, then all of a sudden that pattern shifts and I can start attracting in someone who reflects my inner feelings about myself.
I think that's beautiful. There's one thing that you said where just practicing gratitude can be such a powerful tool. And I agree with that. I think practicing gratitude to yourself for practicing gratitude, first of all, to the other person for the lessons that they are teaching you, even if it's not a good match, every relationship can be a learning, can be a lesson, can be a learning point. And I think that that's important to recognize, is that even if the relationship ends, there's still something to be gained from that. And so being grateful to the other person, being grateful to yourself and patient with yourself on this learning journey, it's not easy. It's gonna suck sometimes. it does. It sucks sometimes, but be gentle with yourself and know that you're still learning, and take the lessons that you can learn from this and go forward with, and be able to set, and that'll allow you to set up better boundaries in the future. And boundaries aren't designed to be qualifiers in a way of saying like, oh, that person's not good enough. Oh, that person's like, it's not, those aren't really what boundaries are. Boundaries aren't necessarily imposed on the other person. Boundaries, there was a workshop that I went to that said that rules are imposed on another person. Boundaries are things that we impose on ourselves that say, hey, I'm not going to go there because that's not a good thing for me. So it's less about judging the other person, and it's more about setting up guidelines for you as far as what you want to allow into your life. And I think that that's an important distinction for people to make. The downside of this approach, what's that?
Yeah, I just wanted to bounce off that. For me, as like a sweet guy, I was a healer, I was an overgiver, and I think you, men and women all see this, but you know, a lot of women will try to stay with a man and try to fix him and really overgive themselves, thinking that they're being loving, but really is that they really need a boundary there? Is that really healthy for me to be trying to change someone who's going to mistreat me or not reciprocate? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one thing that I do want to point out as well is that the answer isn't always the answer in these kinds of situations isn't always, well, I just need to be more giving of myself. The answer isn't always just I need to do more. There is a certain point where if someone is abusive or is not willing to meet you halfway, that they're not willing to put in any sort of work into the relationship or anything like that, there is a certain point where the answer when you ask what do I need to do is not give more in. The answer is to get yourself out of a bad situation. So this philosophy, it doesn't necessarily answer in a direct one-to-one way. This, you know, an answer, a problem with theodicy of like, why are there bad people that hurt good people? Even when those good people just have the best of intentions, there are still sometimes bad people that will hurt them. And that means that those bad people a lot of times are coming from their own place of hurting, and they need to ask themselves this own question. I think that's applicable to them too in some way. But if you're in a bad situation, definitely the answer is not always, I need to give more. The answer sometimes is, I need to withdraw, get out of this bad situation, and take care of myself. That is an important distinction that I feel like we need to make here.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's not giving to others. Am I giving to myself? Am I receiving myself?
Absolutely.
It's not, I have to give more in order to prove my worth to someone else. It's to really know I'm enough as I am. I don't have to do anything to be worthy of healthy love. And healthy love to me looks like being spoken to kindly, treated kindly. And yes, if I'm not getting that, I'm going to remove myself from that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's everything is a reflection of your own. I think this is a reflection of your own self-love. And sometimes showing yourself love is getting out of a bad situation. That is honestly the ultimate self-love. It in self-preservation is just getting out of those kinds of bad situations. I think we're coming up on time here, but before we round out, Austin, do you have any kind of closing thoughts or remarks for people that are listening or watching this? What is a final takeaway message that you want to give them?
Yeah, I think you just started to take it away already. For me, everything is about self-love. And I come in with the growth mindset and this opportunity mindset that the universe is here. It loves me and supports me. And it's given me all these experiences so that I can learn and grow as a soul and just feel more loving of myself. And so from that space, I break my cycles and I feel more at peace with myself. I know myself. I feel more confident. That's pretty cool. Then things get a little more easy.
Austin, you are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Austin, okay, this is final wrap-up time. Look dead at the camera. Tell everyone where they can find you, what services you're offering, like any new promotions that you've got going on. Take it away. Give yourself, this is just plug yourself shamelessly.
Yeah, go for it. Awesome. So yeah, I'm on Instagram at Soul Science Healing, Austin Ryhoff on Facebook, and Soul Science Energy Healing on Facebook. And you can also see my schedule and book with me at austinryhoff.as.me. And I've got my packages on there. I'm offering 10% off for anyone who comes across me through this beautiful talk right here. And I would love to meet with you and explore deep with you and connect.
Austin, oh my God, I love you so much. Everyone, remember your own worth. Remember, the world is your mirror. And there's so much you can be gained from that. If you would like to see more of me, you can find me at Kincaid McMinn on Twitter and at Royal Love Coach on Facebook and Twitter. If you'd like private coaching from me, you can send me an email at royallovecoach@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, royallovecoach.com. If you don't want private coaching, but you still want to support this show in other ways, you can give a positive review so more people can find it, or you can make a small donation at patreon.com/royallyscrewed or paypal.com/royallyscrewed. Austin, thank you so much for being here. Everyone, thank you for watching. We'll see you soon.
Love you, man. Thank you.